Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, after the book of Psalms, of course, book of Proverbs, in chapter 21. And verse 2, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. And our subject this morning is the folly of man's own way, the folly or the foolishness of man's own way. Well, we come this morning to consider these very thought-provoking words in a very thought-provoking book, a book made up of proverbs, as according to the title. And proverbs, well, they are short sayings, but they're not just simply short sayings. They are sayings that are full of truth. That was the wonder of the proverbs. They were so short, and yet they were so full of wisdom and truth and instruction and meaning. That's the wonder of a proverb. That's what a proverb is. Something that is so short and yet it is so full. You can meditate on a proverb forever. A short but weighty saying. And well, many of you will be aware, of course, that the primary author of this book, the human author, of course, is Solomon, King Solomon, who lived around 900 years before the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. King Solomon, the son of David, you know these things very well, a great king, a prosperous king was Solomon, but perhaps more than that, he was a wise king. In fact, he was known as the wisest man who ever lived. Many would visit him from far and wide to hear his wisdom and to benefit from his wisdom and his advice. But of course, his wisdom was not really his own. His wisdom had been given to him by God. God is the source of all wisdom. David asked, or Solomon rather, asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. And indeed, we read in Psalm 111, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom starts not with university degrees, not with academia. Wisdom starts with a knowledge of God. That's where wisdom starts. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And well, we see much wisdom in this book, and this chapter is no exception. These words that open the chapter, for example, just briefly to look at it, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Well, this is wonderfully wise. I'll only spend a brief time with it, but well, you could meditate upon this saying for a long time. The king's heart. Well, in ancient times, nobody was higher than the king. He was the most high. Nobody would tell him what to do. He would tell others what to do. The king of the nation, well, he was in command of all things. And yet, what do we read here? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Well, actually, God is higher. God is higher than any king or earthly ruler. This verse is saying to us that it's actually God who rules over all things. He is sovereign over all things. He's sovereign over all people and over all kings. He rules over them. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He rules over his actions, his life, and he can turn it whithersoever he will. God can turn the heart, even of the king, even of the mightiest man, in whatever way he pleases. And well, that's wisdom, isn't it? That's something that we ought to know and acknowledge, that God is ruling over everything. Everything is subject to his power, and he has power to change hearts and minds. That's very important to understand. You could be a hardened atheist here this morning. You could be somebody who's not interested at all in what I'm about to say. I've met many people who tell me, you won't ever be able to convert me. Whatever you say, you can't convert me. And well, I say, yes, of course. I know I can't convert you, but God can. Your heart is in the hand of the Lord. The heart of every single one of us, it's in the hand of the Lord. And God can turn it whichever way he pleases, at any time he pleases. So yes, I know I can't convert you, but the teaching of this word here is that God can. God can and will save and convert anybody he desires, all of his elect. And well, that's wisdom, isn't that wise? But well, we could spend a long time on that. But verse 2 is going to be my main focus. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Well, what does this mean? Words like this are seen elsewhere in the book of Proverbs in chapter 16, particularly. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Well, a great part of what this means is that the natural man does what is right for himself. Everybody does what they consider to be right. Everybody follows their own way, and they all think that their own way is right. And this is something that we see in our world today. This is something that the world promotes, that the world approves of. Do those things that are right for you. Make the decisions that are right for you according to your own opinion. Have the career that you feel is right for you. Make the decisions that you feel are right for you. Follow the religion that you feel is right for you. Again, I've met people, they belong to another religion. You ask them why. Well, it's right for me, you see. Not because there's any truth or even any morality in it. No, you see, it's right for me. In my own eyes, I do that which is right. And so I choose my own religion. And that's how people operate nowadays. They do all those things that they do because it's right for them. It suits them, suits their way of life. They follow what is right in their own eyes. But there are many things we can say about this. And the first thing, and I say this really just in passing, when the world lives in this way, it causes division. That's the first thing we can say. When everybody does what is right in their own eyes, it causes division, not unity. It's very divisive. It divides people because, you see, we're all different. Everybody will have a different idea of what is right. What is right for one person is not right for another person. And so that brings them into opposition. They're opposed to one another. They're not united. One person will do what's right for him. Another person will do what's right for him. They're opposed to one another. It never brings unity. If I can just give a fairly recent example, a political example, forgive me for this. I don't like using politics. But you think of the decision to leave the European Union, the referendum that we had, Brexit. And what did we have during that time? Well, some people thought it was right in their own eyes to get out of the EU. Other people thought it was right in their own eyes to remain in the EU. And what did we get? We got division. We got a divided country. That's what we really got. There was no unity. Everybody did what was right in their own eyes. I think we should leave. I think we should stay. What's the result? It's division. When people live like this, it brings division. That's why we live in such a divided society. Why do we live in such a divided society? Well, it's because everybody does what is right in their own eyes. And that divides people. But well, the people of God, we're the opposite. Christianity is different. We don't do what is right in our own eyes. We do what is right in the eyes of God. And that brings unity. What does God think? What does God think about what is right? What does God think is good? We follow God, and we all follow God. If we are Christians, we all follow God. We look to him. We see things through his eyes, and that brings unity in the church. But in the world, when everyone does what they want to do, that brings division. Doing what is right in our own eyes, the church is different. We do what is right according to God, and we are one. There is no division. There is unity in the true church of God. So that's the first point to make. But if we just look at this verse in its entirety, this will bring us to our second point. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. That word pondereth in the Hebrew really means weighs up the heart, weighs up the motives of the heart. You know, so often we do things with the wrong motives, and God can see that. Do you know that, that you do things with the wrong motives? You can do something very nice. You can be very nice and kind to somebody, but actually your motives are all wrong. I'm being nice to this person because I want this person to do something for me. I want to manipulate this person. So I'm being very nice to him now. So you can do something that appears good, but actually the motives of your heart are wicked. That's what the teaching is here. People do charity works, all sorts of good deeds, and they like to post these things on the internet and Twitter. And, well, it's a good thing that they've done, but really their motives, it's all about pride. I want applause. I want people to praise me. I want people to esteem me. That's what I want. The motives of our hearts are all wicked. You see, in the Old Testament, well, the prophet Jeremiah said this, the heart, the human heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The human heart, your own heart, is deceitful. You may think you are doing something right, but you are not. You're doing the exact opposite. And some of the worst things in history have been done in this way. Again, I just take an example. I don't really want to mention this, but you think of the Second World War and the Nazis and Nazi Germany. You know, for the Nazis, doing away with the Jews was actually a good thing. They were doing what was right in their own eyes. It was right. We don't want the Jews. The world will be better off without all the Jews. Let's do away with them. They thought what they were doing was right. But actually, their heart was wicked. Their heart was murderous. Dear friends, can you see the folly of following man's way? We have a great example in the scriptures, in the New Testament. You know the Apostle Paul? Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was known by another name, Saul of Tarsus. And when he was Saul of Tarsus, he persecuted Christians. He imprisoned them. He put them to death. And that was right. He thought he was doing something wonderful. In his own eyes, this is right. I'm doing what is good. Until, of course, his conversion, he met with Christ, the risen Christ, on the road to Damascus, and then he realized. Then the scales fell from his eyes. Now he could see himself the way God sees him. I'm not doing what is right. I'm doing what is wrong. I'm a sinner. I'm opposed to God. You see, now he could see himself as God sees him, not in his own eyes, but as God sees him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he knew he had to repent. Well, dear friends, that's what happens to every believer. They no longer view themselves in their own eyes. They see themselves as God sees them. Well, have you come to that realization, dear friends? Do you see yourself as God sees you? There are people here, perhaps, who think that they are good people. And why do they think they're good people? Well, in my own estimation, in my own opinion, In my own eyes, I'm a good person. But dear friends, I hate to say this, your assessment, your opinion of yourself is wrong. It's not to be trusted. Your opinion of yourself is biased. Your assessment of yourself, well, it's done in your best interest. You can't accurately assess yourself. Of course you can't. You can't assess what kind of person you are by yourself. Let me give you an illustration that might help you understand it. If a child was given an exam, an assessment test, let's put it that way. A child is given an assessment test. He finishes it. Well, you don't give it back to him for him to mark it, because he's going to be biased. He's going to mark every question as right. That's right. That's right. That's right. He wants to be the best student. You don't give the assessment test to him. You give it to somebody else. They will make a fair assessment, of course. And it's the same with us. You think you're a good person because you think you're a good person. You've made that assessment yourself, but you're biased. It's only God who can give the true assessment. God is the judge who can see accurately, perfectly, who will judge righteously, fairly. You don't assess yourself. That's inaccurate. That's ridiculous. You wouldn't think of it in any other way. But God sees us. And well, you know this very well. God, when he assesses us, he concludes that we have all sinned. Every single one of us. Not one of us is righteous. All of us have sinned, and we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. But just before we draw to the gospel conclusion, let me just point you to verse 3. Because this is going to perhaps speak to some of us here who, we have a profession of faith, but maybe it's not sincere. Verse 3, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Well, what does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament time, people would make sacrifices. They would go to the temple. And they would offer up sacrifices as part of their religious duties. That's what people would do. But what is being expressed here is that even though they offered their sacrifices, their lives were all wrong. They were not just in their daily dealings with people. They were not fair. They were not good. They treated people harshly. They dishonored God in their lives. And yet they would turn up at the temple and offer their sacrifices like they were good people. That's what it means. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Well, again, I have to apply it in this way. Does that apply to any single one of us? People who are religious, and they come to church, and they sing hymns, and they give money to the offering, perhaps, and maybe even undertake religious duties. And, you think to yourself, that should be enough. I'm right with God. All of these religious things, that should be enough in your own assessment. But, dear friends, it's not enough. God looks upon the heart. He can see whether you are a sincere or a true believer, whether you have truly repented and whether you live a truly life. Maybe you turn up on a Sunday at church, but the rest of your life, you just do what you want. And you live how you want, and you don't care about God, and you don't think about God. Yes, you may look religious in your own eyes, but God looks upon the heart. When God looks upon your heart, does he see that you are a born-again believer? Some people, even some churchgoers, they tell you, I don't need to be born again. I'm all right. I'm all right with God. I don't have to be converted. I don't have to be saved. As long as I keep coming to church, as long as I sing the hymns and give the money, I'm all right. In my own eyes, as far as I'm concerned, I'm right with God. But as far as God is concerned, You must be born again. You must repent and have faith. Don't assess your spiritual standing by yourself. Go to the Lord, read his word. You must turn to the Lord. You must repent and have faith. You must be born again. That's what the Lord said. And you must trust in Christ. Do you see that you are a sinner? When God looks upon your heart, does he see that you are humble, contrite? In Psalm 51, we read that the sacrifices of God are a humble and contrite heart, a humble spirit. That's what we need to be acceptable to God. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I used to think I was a good person, but now I see myself as you see me, Lord. I'm a sinner and I deserve punishment, but Lord, I know that Christ has come. He has taken my punishment upon himself on the cross when he died. It was for me, for sins that I have committed in my life. He suffered and died. He took upon himself the punishment for my sin, and he's the only way. The only way I may be made right with God. Dear friends, we must stress that again. There are so many religions in the world, and every way to man seems right. That's what you hear nowadays. So many religions, well, they all lead to the same place. They're all right. Every religion is valid. Dear friends, that's so wrong. If there was any other way of salvation, if there was any other way of salvation, God would never have sent his son to suffer and to die on the cross, to be beaten, to be scourged, to be spat upon, to suffer the vilest execution in human history. Would God have sent the Lord Jesus Christ to suffer all that if there was some other way? If there was some other way of salvation? Of course not. God sent his only begotten Son into the world because it was the only way. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There is no other way, even though in the eyes of men, every way is right. It's not. Christ is the only way. So, dear friends, all of these things present themselves to us. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I close this morning, well, with the exhortation I give every week and will give every week until I die. How is it with you? Are you going to leave this place and go your own merry way, a way without God? You think that's right? In your own estimation, you think that's right. I'm going to go and I'm just going to forget what the preacher said, going to forget about God, going to go and watch TV, live my life throughout the week however I please. Because you think that's right. That's not the right way. It's not the right way for you. God knows the right way for you. God knows the right way for your life. And it's a way that is a glorious way, a blessed way in this life, a way everlasting. It doesn't end. If you turn away from God, your way will end in darkness and misery. But you follow God's way. That is the right way for each and every one of us. Don't go your own way, the way that looks good in your own eyes. Ask the Lord. Bless me, save me. My heart is in your hand, Lord. Turn it, change it, so that I may love you with all my heart. You're able to do this, Lord. Do it even this day, and you will be eternally blessed. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. May our hearts belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, as we have just read, as we have just considered, our hearts are in thy hands. Thou art the God who is the ruler, sovereign over all things. Change each and every one of us, Lord, that we may belong to thee, that we may love thee with all our heart. O Lord, we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.